the series that we're jumping into today, I don't know how long it will last because I'm just going to walk through Philippians. Well, I'm not going to actually walk through. Do you realize how the Filipino on staff makes you recognize all of the stuff that you say that you expect everybody, if we're going to dive into it or jump into it or walk through it, and he's these idioms that we use, he sometimes will, I don't know how many of you have a pet, but sometimes you can make a weird noise and our dog will go. Pastor Aldine will. So I'm learning all these things that I think everybody understands what I'm saying, but he has no clue. We're going to dive on. Yeah, anyway, we're going to study through the book of Philippians, and I think that the Lord is going to use it for multiple things to help us to recognize how to deal with things when we're all worried, when our circumstances are difficult, all sorts of things. It's amazing to me to see how this is the last. Most people think this is the last letter, epistle that Paul wrote while he's in prison. It is the one, he wrote this to the people in Philippi. There's no synagogue there. It's a mostly, I started to say pagan, but mostly Greek folks that don't understand Judaism. They didn't have the historical roots. And yet, of his letters, generally he's writing to fix something or to help them out with something, but to the people in Philippi, he's writing to them to tell them, way to go. I really like you. It's interesting to me to notice that he writes expressing great appreciation and love for them. Yeah, he gives them some instructions. He cannot help that. That's Paul. But in this town or small city, that's just a little larger than Gas City, with the population that struggles to stay at poverty level or below, there are some interesting things. They are a generous church. I think that there's some parallels with what we're going through, and it's clear that they are living out their faith in joy and unity. And so I believe that there's something about real joy that makes a difference, and I'm just curious. Yeah, we're going to have fun with all that stuff. Circumstances, relationship, things, annoyances, worries. We're gonna have fun as we walk through this. Brother Bosworth, who was Yogi Berra?
One of the greatest catchers in the world for the New York Yankees.
Yes. And Yogi Berra was famous for several different sayings. You can see a lot just by looking. It ain't over till it's over. He's even credited with saying, it ain't over till the fat lady sings. What I'm about to say reminded me of Yogi Berra. If you're full of joy, you tend to feel one way. And if you lack joy, you tend to feel another way. It's one of the, well, yeah. It's kind of a Yogi Berra statement. Joy not only makes a difference in our feelings, but in our actions. And when we're joyful, there's a tendency to persevere longer. Hang in there. There's also a tendency when we're full of joy to take greater steps of faith. Even what would appear risky to And yet, I don't think those are nearly as important as other stuff to share. So if there's some things that you can learn, and if you'd like a homework assignment, I see you all getting your ink pens out. If anybody needs one, I have a few. If you would like a homework assignment, you can go to Acts chapter 16. There's about 30 verses there that tell how the church came together in Philippi and what all happened. And there's some historical roots there that you can see what happened when Paul was there and stuff like that. Anyway, that you can use that as a homework assignment. So Paul's now writing the letter back to them. He's in prison. And the reason that Paul writes to them, the reason that he prays for them with joy is because of their partnership. The way that they locked arms together in the ministry. Verse 5 says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So, I believe that partnership in the gospel brings joy. That's an important point. The first point that I would like to make. Partnership in the gospel brings joy. And I don't mean just sitting together in the same room. But partnering, where we're locking arms, working together, that brings joy. Special. Dave, when we loaded up, drove to Iowa, then packed up that truck, in the same day that we had driven there, packed up the truck and then drove it down to Des Moines and unloaded it all in the same day, slept a few hours and then drove back the next day. Did that create a special bond with you and me and the other two guys there?
Yeah.
Special time. When we do a project, when we work together, when we have a partnership, in the ministry together, it's amazing how that brings joy. It really does. I was surprised when I saw the word partnership, and I went ahead and did a little diving in because I was kind of curious what the roots of that. Phil Burr?
Sir.
Koinonia is the word that is translated partnership here. How's koinonia usually translated?
It's a trucking company in Muncie.
Okay, there we go. I remember I had preached on Koinonia, and then he called me up to tell me about this trucking company. He just had seen it. Koinonia generally is fellowship, and so I think of ice cream when I think of fellowship. You know, we should get together and eat ice cream or whatever. But here, Koinonia, because of what it's surrounded with, goes deeper than just hanging out and eating together. It's a partnership. It's a working together, serving together in the ministry. They have partnered. It's pretty incredible to have the same purpose going forward and doing something together and making a difference that's lifelong. As a way of creating a bond that goes beyond a casual relationship. I do believe that there are some forms of fellowship that are actually harmful, and my terminology, I've heard other people use this too, is koinonitis, other than koinonia. I think it was the first or second time I preached here, I lined the pulpit up, this is the last century, I lined the pulpit up with potatoes. And I know that all of you that are old timers from back in that day, you remember the sermon word for word. Yeah. So I'm going to take three of the points from those taters that were along here. And I'm going to say that there's something called koinonitis that has the opposite of koinonia. It's like a disease. And the first tater is spectators. Outsiders that are breathing over your shoulder, you can feel their breath on your neck, and they're watching every little thing that you're doing. How many of you just love having people watch what you're doing? They can be spectators. I like the taters. Then there's the second group, the commentators. They're outsiders that give their opinions on everything that you're doing. And they're frustrated to your work because there's no way they understand it. If you were to stop and take time to explain to them, then you don't get your work done, and so you have to deal with the commentators, and it's so frustrating. And the third one, even worse, they're the agitators. These three taters are really annoying, but the agitators especially, because they love drama. They want to agitate, they want to create a soap opera, they want to get an argument going, and there's no way that they're agitating forward to help you produce something. I mean, they are not even the grain of sand in the shell to create the pearl. They're worse than that. They destroy it anyway. Until I really like agitators. I am convinced, however, that the koinonia of God's workers, the partnership of us working together in the ministry, whether it's on a parade float, working with the children, or doing the women's thing, or annoying the pastor, there is this, harassing the pastor. Yeah, even rebuking the pastor, he needs it all done. I'm convinced that when we work together, arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder, even though there are problems and challenges, and difficulties, there's a joy. A joy that's shared, that's unspeakable and full of glory. I think we may have said those words just a moment ago. If you participate with people over time, something that's important to the heart of God, it creates a bond that transcends just normal human friendships. So the second point is confidence in God's ability brings joy. It says our confidence isn't in our track record. It's not in our skills and our abilities. It's not because we've done so well or served. Our confidence relates to God's part. Confidence is in the Lord's part. He who has begun this work is going to complete it. Verse 6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God completes when he starts. Last century, I got to be a part of a youth camp that had a day away. And we loaded up into buses and we drove down to Turkey Run State Park. We drove straight to the place where all of the canoes were. Everybody got out of the buses, over 300 teenagers plus counselors and staff. And we got into the canoes, two or three to a canoe, and off we went. And the instructions were this: if you get behind the red flag canoe, whether you are an adult or a teenager, if you get behind the red flag canoe, the rest of the week you have KB to eat for every meal. Oh, just in case, KB duty is kitchen patrol. You get to be there early to help get things set up, and then you stay late to wash the dishes. I hate washing dishes. And I know I'm not supposed to use the hate word, but that I absolutely despise washing dishes. So, the red flag canoe, Les Kephart was in the red flag canoe, and it was the last one to go. First mile, everybody's having a good time, splashing each other, all of these canoes in the water. Second, third mile, they're beginning to stretch out some. By the sixth mile, there is not one person who isn't complaining. Whose idea was this? Blisters are starting to form. It's just terrible. Everybody is whining and complaining. And we're only halfway done. And the red flag canoe's coming along. And everybody's got to hurry up and get going. And we all, every single one of us, completed the 12 miles. Got out feeling like we accomplished something. And that night, in the meeting, Les Kephart stood up and said, many of you were asking whose idea it was to do the whole 12 miles. Well, it was my idea. He said, here's why I wanted to do the whole 12 miles. Some of you have never seen anybody finish anything. We live in a quitter society, and today you all completed a 12-mile canoe trip. Whether you were canoe novices before or not, you have now done a 12-mile canoe trip. You have the blisters to prove it. They are your badges of honor. You can go home with your chest out and your head held high and talk about this exciting experience that you had, and you completed it. The kids are standing up and applauding because they got it. They actually completed something that was difficult. This scripture reminds us that we have lots of weaknesses. However, our confidence can be in the God who completes things. Amen. He gives us strength when we are completely weak, when we are worn out. He is the one who is able to complete when we feel like there's no way I can make it that last mile or even the last step. We can have great confidence in Him because He is able to complete what He has started in us. We do not have to doubt His ability. We kind of sang something about that too. I like that. Confidence in God's ability brings joy. Whatever God begins, He is able to make sure it is completed all the way to the end. Don't stop it. Okay, I'm all in for the long haul. I don't feel good, but my confidence is in You. All the way to the end. Next point. Commitment stirs deep feelings and brings joy. Verse 7 and 8, Paul says this. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. Whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. Verse 8, God can testify. Listen to His personal expression here. This is real personal. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. He's not saying, hey, we work together, isn't that great? He's saying we're one in heart. We serve together, and it's right for me to feel this way. The biblical understanding of feelings is so much deeper than what our current world. I hope I haven't lost you, even though this came up this long now. This is really good. The world's concept of feelings is so much different in our culture today than what this scripture is talking about. This is deep. Do you realize that in Scripture, our feelings follow our commitments? I used to wrestle with the whole feelings thing. Well, I don't feel so good about doing the ministry. I remember Pastor Martin, he's not the only one, many others have shared this, but Pastor Martin set me down one day and said, well, if your faith in God, if your experience with Him is a train, there's the engine that pulls, there's the coal car that fuels the engine, and then there's the caboose that brings up the rear and focuses on things. And he said that the engine is your commitment, and the coal car is your faith, and the caboose is your feelings. He said, you need your salvation, you need your commitment, and you need your faith that fuels that.
follow commitment and your faith. That was very insightful. And then he started sharing scriptures with me. And then last month, when we were dealing with mind your own business, that God has given each one of us a call, and we need to mind it. We need to make sure that we take care of it. I shared the scripture that says that wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And I thought, huh. It's the same thing. Where our commitments are, that's where our feelings go. What are you committed to? Just commitment brings joy. If you lovingly and faithfully serve over time, if you are committed to God's work and His kingdom, there will be deep joy. I've said this several times. It's my quote. You can be infatuated and not be in love. But you can't be in love and not be infatuated. There are those moments that when we still look at each other, even though we may have changed over the years, we still look at each other and have infatuation moments. I'm thinking maybe Earl and Jean are in love. You know, I used to talk about how the Moores sat here, and one day I was sitting behind them, and Reva Moore looked at Carl and had that twinkle in her eye, and then Carl looked back at her with that twinkle, and I'm thinking, these people are 4 million years old, and they still look at each other with that twinkle in their eye. And here you are today, you Johnsons, right?
They just came out of a hurricane.
Came out of the hurricane. I'm glad you came up here from Florida. You get to see you. Is a pick on you today. I believe that when we're in love, that there's a lot of work that has to be done and a lot of commitment. But I believe that we get to have those mushy moments still. But what Paul's talking about here are deep, deep feelings. Not just a momentary flash of anger. Not just a momentary flash of passion. Our world's all about that surface level emotion where everybody wants to get mad at everybody, or everybody wants to have a moment where they lock eyes with each other and they're in love forever, you know, all of that stuff. And then the next day there's someone else. Anyway, what Paul's talking about for the people at Philippi here is that he has deep, deep feelings for them. It is amazing to me how we can be filled with joy in the middle of difficult circumstances. As I close out this message, I wrestle a little bit with, well, I'm going to be preaching, I'm going to be sharing all these good points. I feel like there's nuggets of gold. There's been light bulbs for my own spiritual walk that have gone off with this and just gone on. How do I pull this home? Is there some sort of commitment, or am I just giving information today? And once again, it felt like I was on CSI and the Lord was on the back of my head. There are so many things that happen in our lives to throw wet blankets on the fire of our joy. This thought, maybe it would be a really good thing to say that serving Christ brings joy, partnership in the gospel brings joy, confidence in God's ability brings joy, commitment stirs deep feelings and brings joy, but I thought, maybe we just have a time together where maybe there's somebody in this room that would like to say, yeah, there's been enough wet blankets on my life that the fire of my joy is kind of a small part of it, just seems to have gone out. I want to be there.
curious, who here today would say, Pastor Mark, I'm going to raise my hand because I want you to pray for me. I want my joy to be God's joy in my heart that goes deep, no matter what I'm going through. If that's you, if you'd say, Pastor Mark, would you pray for me now? Would you raise your hand? Heavenly Father, there are many hands that have gone up. We're going to be studying through Philippians for a while, but today, in this moment, I pray in Jesus' name that you would fill us with your joy, a joy that really is something that goes beyond what we can explain. It comes directly from you, no matter what our circumstances, no matter what our history, no matter what we're facing. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would fill us with your joy. And as we go through the coming weeks, that we would find your joy flowing more and more through us and out of us and spilling off onto those around us. I pray this in Jesus' name. I pray that we would sense the warmth of koinonia with your body, warmth of your spirit in our soul in such a way that people see your Shekinah glory on us. In Jesus' name I pray. Oh yeah. Sorry, Vicki. Thanks, Scotty, for reminding me. Next, this coming Saturday, we're having a service down at the park for the Ducktail Road. And it's at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. If any of you would like to be, okay, you can print your name on here and check that you're going to pray for it, or you're going to attend it, or if you're willing to help. Or you can check all three if you want. I'm just going to leave them up here. There's these pins up here. And if you need any pin, I happen to have a cue. Extra.
Always. Always. Please stand for benediction. Sister and brother, peace to you. May your joy be stirred by his deep love. May your love abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You are dismissed.